Radio City Talk. Late Night City with Pete Price.
Scousers Abroad.
Let's talk to John Ashton now. Over in Chicago, the Windy City, originally from Roby and Highton. Hello, mate.
Hello, chap. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. So how long have you been over there in that beautiful city?
I left Liverpool, lovely Liverpool, 1st of September 1997 with £2,000, a brown suitcase that I bought from a car boot sale, and just a mission to come to America and eventually get a green card and become famous.
Now, what made you actually want to do it, first of all?
I had a Ford Orion, and it got broken into, and I was like, oh, I can't be bothered with this. And I'd watched, when I was a kid, I remember watching the Beatles, a rerun of the Beatles, and I'd seen all the ladies were all screaming, and I thought, God, blimey, I've got the same accent. I haven't got the talent as a musician, because I always wanted to be a chef, but I thought, that's where I want to go.
So you just went. Now, how hard was it to actually leave your loved ones behind?
I think it was really hard, actually. It was hard saying goodbye to the city that I love, and then, you know, saying goodbye to my mum. We'd done a show on TV Dinners, it was called, and I filmed it that weekend, and I left on the Monday to come to America, and the show went on the TV, and the show was about me leaving to go to America.
Wow. Now, apart from the fact you were excited about it, what about, were you nervous and frightened when you got off the plane?
No. You know, I had £2,000. I think I'd read in the Times at the time, if you get caught in the league as an illegal immigrant in America, they put you on a plane and they send you back home. So I thought, if I run out of money, I can always go down and say I'm an illegal immigrant and they'll send me back home. It's true, yeah. True story.
So why Chicago? Why Chicago, of all the places in America?
I first went to Orlando. And then it was one of them, really, as I climbed up the ladder and I started doing more TV and become a little bit more successful. It's important that you're in one of the main cities, whether it be New York or LA or Chicago.
So tell me what you do.
In America now, I'm a TV chef, so I do television here. I work with 140 TV stations, and then there's a magazine on a Sunday called Parade, although I think Parade in the United Kingdom's a bit different. I think that's more of a nude magazine than England, whereas in America, it's the largest publication. So on a Sunday, I have 22 million readers.
Wow. Was it hard to get into what you're doing?
No, I was lucky. I got the Liverpool DNA in me. So that gives you the personality. It's in your blood. And then from there, it was, not taking no for an answer. And I think many people from Liverpool have the determination and the courage just to keep on following. And when someone says you can't do it, you go around them and you keep going forward.
So how did you get your break? Tell us about that, the actual break.
There was a town called Celebration that was by Disney, and they had a local cable access channel, and I went in and I took some cookies. You know, I've seen in the United States, they love cookies, we like our biscuits as such, and I took some to the main director there, and I said, I want to put a TV show on your local television here in this community. And he said, no, because they were getting a lot of bad media at that time surrounding the school. So I said, well, I'm going to keep on bringing the cookies and make you fat until you give me an opportunity. So every Friday I'd take cookies in, the determination, and he said, okay, show me a pilot. And I haven't thought that far ahead, to be honest with you. Yeah. And then I actually put an advertisement on the same channel saying I was looking for a production crew. I didn't tell them I had any money. And when I'd meet the camera guys and the editors to interview them as such, I said, I told them the truth. I said, I'm from Liverpool. I've got no money. I said, but I'll cook you and your family some meals if you'll film a show for me. And that's how I started from there. And it was the same with everything. And now, you know, all the big shows, the Tonight Show, Today Show, do all the big shows. So it's just having a laugh, isn't it? It's a bunch of ingredients. It's just having a good laugh.
Tell me how they understand what you say. How do they understand what you say?
I have to speak slowly. I do. And I'll be honest, my grammar, I do change quite a bit, you know, when I'm in front of, like, I've got a show next week in Knoxville, and I've got a, sold 1,000 tickets, and I'm on stage for about just over 2 hours, and I don't know what happens, Pete, because I get on stage, and you just turn into this sort of jester or culinary clown, and they're laughing. We do. I don't know where it comes from. It must be Liverpool. Just it's wonderful. You know, it's a treat it is.
And what about your catering training? Where did you get that?
I went to St. Helens College. I was very fortunate. I went there, and that's where I started. But from a child, you know, I fell in love with cooking. And from there, it was just something what's inside you. And I was never really interested in just, I wanted to know where I would go wrong. So if I cook something, where was it going wrong? And when I do television or I do on stage, it's always, well, where do you go wrong? Let me show you. If I can show you the ways you go wrong, you'll always cook it correctly.
Is there much competition for what you do over there?
Oh, there's loads now. There's tons of it. There is. But the thing is, Pete, it's like anything, really. It's become a little bit too serious, the cooking, you know. When I look back and I look at who my food heroes was, I would say it's a guy, the Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr. If you type him in, probably YouTube or Google him, still today, if you watch him, he was just a genius. You know, he never took cooking too serious, and he was a jolly good laugh. You know, you come away and you feel hungry, but your laughing cheeks would be sore.
Do you know what's amazing? I keep thinking that I'm you. Now, do you know why I said that?
You do. Oh, come on, you're taking years off yourself there, lad.
No. Do you know what I said? Do you know why I said that though? Did you know I went to catering college?
I didn't, mate. No,
I went to catering college for 3 years. And wanted to be a TV chef. But I never did it.
Oh, listen, I was fortunate. I was fortunate and worked hard.
No, but isn't that weird? I'm talking to you and I could be you. I'm thinking, oh my word, my head is spinning listening to your conversation, thinking, I could have done that. I could have done that. It's weird.
Do you know one of the things, Pete, I'll tell you what is an inspiration, and I'll send it to you, I'll send an email and you guys can put it up there. I got a letter from Ken Dart. I wrote to him and I was nervous about the first time I was going on TV. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you this photo in my condo in Chicago. I keep the first cookbook I bought, my first knife, and I keep the letter from Ken Dart.
Wow.
And every time I have people come over, I always show them this letter, and it's the most beautiful letter it was, and that really gave me such inspiration, and I still have it now.
That's amazing, and I have still got my catering knives from my college.
Now, come here, Pete. Now, come on. So, say you come to America, you come into Chicago to see my nice smile, and I'm going to bring people across. What are you going to cook?
What am I going to cook? I would probably
dish?
Well, one of my favourite dishes, and everyone used to take the mickey out of me because years ago, when they came around to my house for dinner, they went, is that it? And I always used belly pork and I used breast of lamb when they weren't in fashion. But I used, especially the breast of lamb, I used to take it, strip it down, cook it, put it in honey, grill it off. And I'd serve it with petit pois la française and Bernays potatoes. That was my favourite.
That was it. Do you still cook now, dear?
Not. I've gone lazy, you know, to what I used to. But I used to have dinner parties and everything. But I always wondered if I stayed with what I was doing, would I have finished up like you? That's what's it's just blowing my mind. This.
But here's the question. Well, I think you would have with your personality, probably. And he would have loved you over here, wouldn't he? You know?
Well, hopefully. We don't know. Now, tell me, what's life like over there, over in Chicago, John?
You know, Pete, I am the luckiest lad in the whole world. I travel all the time. I do. I'm in Chicago for a couple of days now, and I'll be in Cleveland. And then I've just got a house in Martha's Vineyard. I'll tell you what was funny, Pete, was a couple of weeks ago, my brother's from Liverpool, Derek, and I bought a house in Martha's Vineyard this year, a beach house, and my brother come across for a month, and he's a big fan. Well, he's a medium fan of yours. He's only about 5 foot. but he come across, you know, and the president was there, Mr. Obama, And I was driving across the up from Vineyard Haven into Edgartown, and there's a golf course there. Lo and behold, you won't believe this. As I was coming down, there's the Secret Service there, stopped, and there was the bloomin' president. So wow. Now, I've got loads of celebrity friends. I'm not trying to name drop or pretend them fancy pants, but I never, ever get... Never lose myself. I'm always the same person. Well, I opened the window of the car, the electric car. I opened the window, and as he's walking back to his golf cart, I went, "Hey!" And I clapped. I looked like a right idiot, and he waved. And I've met tons of celebrities. I've got loads of friends who are celebrities. I've never, ever in my life lost myself. Oh, God. Funny, lad.
Now, the only time I did that was in Barbara Streisand's presence. So, and I can relate to that as well. I just went like a quivering idiot. Nothing would come out of my mouth. Felt a total fool.
I tell you what, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was doing a thing in Nashville, and it was with Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and this big guy was setting up. He was, because, I think you might be aware, this in this country, there's some people who are overweight in Liverpool, but bloody hell, when it comes to the real ones, this is where obesity was created. And this fella was a big fella. He was four. You could do a sponsored walk around him. And he was setting up. And I was there, and I don't believe in trumping around people. I try not to, because especially with social media, the last thing you want is someone to say, I worked with that chef, and he didn't half trump one, So I was holding it in, and he was putting the camera leads on for the overhead camera. And just as he was putting it down there, I dropped my kitchen towel, and I went to my tea towel, as they call it in Liverpool. I went to pick it up. Oh, it was like a lion roaring, it was, Pete. And this poor man, he had this beautiful southern accent. He says, my buddy. He says, wow, you must have been eating barbecue. And then just all of a sudden, Dolly Parton comes in. And she comes in chest first, obviously. And she comes over. And it was one of them smelly ones, the stinky type. Mm. And he's there. And she says to me, she says, boy, she says, was that boy? And I said, yep, he's been at it all morning. So awful. I know I'm going to hell for that. I know I am. I should have took pride in my work.
So what's your style of cooking on telly?
Simple and easy, it's really easy. We've got myself, and then we've got Auntie Ruby, who's a new, she's back on the, she's on the scene now, so she's a jolly good lass. That's something what the culinary industry's never seen before.
So tell me about
Auntie Ruby's like a Mrs. Doubtfire of the kitchen.
Right.
Whereas she just doesn't care. She loves a drinky poo. And then she has a good few drinks, and then she starts cooking, and everything seems to go wrong, but then it goes right. And that's who she is. So we've got about another 8 episodes in the can of her, and then we start filming again in the end of November for her.
And she's living over there with you?
She's living over there with you, yeah. Her name's Mrs. Ruby Tips.
Right.
She is. You might see some similarities when you take a look at the two of them.
I'm with you now. I'm now with you. I understand what you're talking about. Sorry, that went straight over my head. So,
that's all right.
Do you have to watch your back all the time in this industry over in Chicago?
Chicago's a rough city, but in what way?
As in, because the backbiting in television. All about ratings. The ratings are so big in the States, aren't they?
Yeah, of course, yes. And yeah, it's like anything, really. Just be yourself and enjoy it. Mm. Enjoy yourself and don't be anybody else. When all the negativity come around, when Mr. Ramsey first started this industry, and I've got nothing against anybody, but, I got offered a few contracts from big networks to come along, but I always had the, I was always the person who, I don't believe in putting someone down, I'd rather pull them up. And that's the way I've always been, and if it's cost me, probably could have cost me a lot of money not doing it, if you look from a businessman, but I don't believe in putting people down. I'd rather pull someone up, and I'd rather make someone smile and feel miserable.
Would you stay over there? Would you try and break England?
No, I'd love to come back to England. I think I'm ready, actually, now. You know, we've got a great story, and I love it. You know, and I'd love to bring Auntie Ruby across as well. I just think she's just a hoot. She's just something what the culinary scene's never seen, and she's a great laugh. But no, I'd love to come back home now. I think, you know, I've come over here, and I've gone to the College of America, you know, and I love it. I love England. Yeah, I love it. I love Liverpool.
Apart from your friends, what do you miss?
I miss these, you know, the local pub by my house here in Chicago, sorry, condo, we call it, or flat in England. It's called AJ Hudson's, and all the lads get together on a Friday, and I've got three Scouse friends, and then there's about eight other lads from around England, and we always have a pint on a Friday if I'm in town. I love that aspect. I miss, you know, obviously I miss like the cafe. You know, the cafes are brilliant, aren't they? And then the sense of humour. There's the sense of humour is that I had to learn to control my sense of humour because although people can give it, they can't take it in a nice way.
Mm.
You know, and that's okay. That's just part of living and growing when you're in a different country.
So you've set roots there. You've set a life there.
My life's great. I've got a daughter who's 9 years old, you know, and she loves cooking. She's amazing, you know. She's been on the Today Show with me. She's filmed many segments, and I'm the luckiest lad, mate, you know, to have several homes and, you know, but to have just such a career. And if you think about it, Pete, who would ever think that you could be writing something and 22 million people are going to read it every Sunday?
It's incredible. You know, it's really incredible.
On Twitter, I have over 2.5 million followers. You know, wow. It's just, and what's interesting is I think, you know, you think to yourself, at least I do, I say, God, blimey, I just don't, I'm, you know, that's why I don't want to change as well. I always want to be myself and make Liverpool proud, you know, and that's one.
I was just going to say, how would your daughter feel about moving to England?
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, I'd love her to go to university, college and university. I'm not with a man, so, you know, I'm not with baby mum, so I don't think she'd have a move across. But, you know, I think, you know, when she's 16 or 18, if she wants to go to college or university, you know, my family, you know, they'd open her up with open arms. They'd welcome her in.
You're a fascinating man, John. Let's have some name checks for some lovely people over here.
Bless you. No, I'm a lucky lad, mate. I'm a lucky lad, and thanks to Liverpool for giving me the personality and people like yourself who encourage and inspire people to go and follow their dreams, you know.
So let's have some name checks of people who'll be listening who know you.
Oh, of course, yeah, not a problem. My brother Derek, who I adore and I love. My dad, his name's Derek as well. My sister Rebecca, Margaret, Joshua, Gary and Nikki. And I probably forgot a ton of them, but let's start with that.
All right, then. You're an interesting man. I've loved talking to you. You must come on
keep
again.
In touch.
We must talk. No,
yeah,
no, we,
keep
we
in
must
touch.
Have you on again because you're fascinating.
Come and visit. Come and visit sometime. We'll cook together. I've been back in Liverpool. I'll have you over it, and you can cook the breast of lamb, and I'll show you some new pork belly ways.
Thanks, John.
Take care, lad. Cheerio, mate.
John Ashton over in Chicago. Bye bye.
Liverpool's biggest after-hours talk show. This is Late Night City with Pete Price. Radio City Talk.